kick up your heels Saturday morning in the garden with Rosie on the house.
Last Saturday, we were broadcasting live from the University of Phoenix Stadium for the home show. Walter called in, had some serious damage to his Australian bottle tree from a woodpecker. And we had suggested, well, we knew John was coming in this week, so send us some pictures, which he did. And he's right. That woodpecker went to town on that bottle tree.
Yeah, Australian bottle trees are a main menu item for some of our sapsucker birds in our area, particularly the Gila woodpecker.
So that woodpecker's after sap, not bugs?
Yes.
I always thought they were just always after bugs in the tree.
No, those little holes that you see, those horizontal holes along the branches, are created by these birds, generally the Gila woodpecker, and they peck
sap.
A little hole, get a little sap, then they move their beak over a quarter inch or so and tap another hole and get some fresh sap. And the bottle trees have a very soft bark, and it's full of moisture, and it's just a real popular target for those birds.
What can he do? Well, it's 25 feet tall, and he's worried that this damage may have hurt the integrity of the tree.
Occasionally on smaller diameter branches, you'll actually lose a branch because they can girdle the entire way around the branch. But generally speaking, it's more cosmetic. I think it's kind of cool. You see these patterns of little holes on these trees. I think it looks kind of neat.
It's a pattern.
Yeah, because it'll those little holes will callus over. They'll compartmentalize that injury, and this tree seem to be able to do fine.
So if it's a sap sucking woodpecker, how long before he sucks all the sap out, or does he need to worry about, you know, finding a way to deter him?
Yeah, I don't think that there. I mean, you could try to deter him. You know, hang some old CDs in the tree, or some holographic material that you can hang in trees that birds don't like, and so you can try to dissuade them. But I don't think it's going to be threatening the health of the tree. So I wouldn't be too concerned regarding that, yeah.
Sounds good. Let's see how we can help our callers this morning at 1-888-767-4348. We're going to start in Santan Valley with Sean. Welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Yes, sir.
Hey, so I had a question. We're looking at planting some various citrus trees in our backyard, and one of the trees I wanted to plant was a pomegranate. We have some friends, and they told us about a type of bug, I guess, that is attracted to the pomegranate trees, but that the bugs will travel to other plants nearby and kill the other plants. And I don't know what kind of bug they were talking about. I don't know nothing about that.
Well, there is a leaf hopper. It is an insect that tends to target pomegranates. They love them, and you'll see them in pomegranate trees almost exclusively in your garden on the pomegranate trees. We have some on ours, but they don't seem to do very much damage. They'll do some damage to the fruit if you're not careful, and they're large enough where you can actually see them and identify them. They don't swarm the tree, so you're overwhelmed by them, but you can get up in the branches and see some of them and try to pick them off if you like. What we tend to do on our pomegranate tree is we use those small little lunch sacks that you can buy in the grocery store and just cover the individual fruits with that little sack and put a rubber band around the top or some landscape tie. And it just, once the fruit starts to size and gets a little, starts to ripen, then we go ahead and bag them up and let them continue to size for the last couple of months of the season. That way the bugs, can't get inside there and damage the fruit.
No matter what you plant, Sean, you're going to have to fight something. I mean, rabbits.
I haven't heard anything about them hurting other plants in the yard. That's new to me.
Insects, bugs. I mean, when you start growing something, every little thing that creeps and crawls and flies is going to find it. I mean, no matter what, you probably have to fight something. But you said that they don't usually damage the tree to the point where he has to worry. So
yeah, you just got to protect the fruit if you see some of the insects. And they don't always get on all pomegranate trees, but they are exclusive to those. So just kind of keep your eye out for them.
Well, we had talked at the beginning of the program about a citrus you have brought in that I thought it tasted pretty similar to a grapefruit. It was called a pomelo.
The pomelo.
Pomelo.
Yeah.
Margaret has called in and wants to know more about it. Welcome to the program, Margaret.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. My friend gave me something tastes like a pomelo. I asked her for the name. She said it's called Oro Blanco. What's that?
The Oro Blanco?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a variety of pomelo, I believe. But if she has a pomelo and it's an Oro Blanco, that probably is a white pomelo. There are pink and white varieties. I used to, when I was younger, 30 years ago, I only knew that there were white ones because those are the only ones I had ever eaten. But now I've seen that there are some wonderful pink, kind of ruby-colored ones that we have in the studio today.
Yeah, what you brought in today, you would think that's a ruby grapefruit, just looking at
just
the meat.
The meat of the fruit looks just like a grapefruit.
Sure, tastes a lot better.
A little sweeter, yeah.
Now, where could somebody go? I mean, the citrus is a huge industry in Arizona. Where could somebody go
You can call around to any of the local nurseries because almost all nurseries have some selection of citrus, but there are actually citrus nurseries. The one we really enjoy going to is Greenfield Citrus Nursery out in Mesa. John Babiar's, the owner there, has a wonderful operation, and they have a great selection of citrus. And we like it because a lot of their citrus is field-grown. It's not containerized stock. So you can go out and you pick your tree in the grove, and they'll ball and burlap that tree for you and get it out to your place.
And they're not just a grower; they do retail, so anybody can walk in.
Absolutely, yeah.
Excellent. And that's
Greenfield
in
Citrus
Mesa
Nursery. Yep.
Okay. Appreciate the call, Margaret. And as we go down to Tucson, something else is going on in Tucson next week as it relates to trees. The Arizona Community Tree Council has an annual tree climbing competition. It's been all over the state. It's been at the Boyce Thompson Arboretum. It's been in Prescott. It's in Reed Park next. And Reed Park's beautiful. I've been to a couple jazz concerts there that when Richard Romero was still at the U of A doing the – what was his title? The director of playtime or something like that?
He was the
recreational director.
Yeah, student recreation director. Now, how do you get that job? I wonder if they still
have Romero.
I wonder if they still have that job.
He actually is related far enough back in the bloodline, but he's actually moved back to Louisiana and opened a crawfish farm after he retired from U of A. But the Reed Park, where they used to hold these concerts.
Some big trees there.
Oh,
some big trees.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, the annual Arizona tree climbing competition is going to be in Tucson at Reed Park next Saturday, and it starts around 8 o'clock, runs all day long, and if you want to see some of the best tree climbers in the state of Arizona competing, head on out there, bring the family. Got lots of fun children's events out there, so it's a great time to see good climbers. What the competition does is there are five events, and they simulate a typical work climb that an arborist would be involved in their daily operations. Climbers who work for our various tree companies climb up trees, and they have to do certain operations and have to work safely. So these are judged events where the climbers participate in these five separate events, and they do this for awards at the end of the day. The top three climbers through the preliminary events go on to a master challenge. At the end of the day, it's an event that involves about 20 or 30 minutes in the tree, in a large tree. And Reed Park has some beautiful large trees. So it's going to be a lot of fun. We really enjoy it. So head down there with your families this coming Saturday.
So you're not going to see any racing up and down a palm tree?
No. These will be in the shade trees, in the shade. It'll be a beautiful day. Looks like the weather's going to be awesome.
The ropes and rappelling are quite impressive. What? No charge to show up and watch it?
Nope. It's a free event. Like I said, some activities for the kids are planned as well. So make it a family day, bring a picnic lunch, and have a good time.
Paul, how can we help you with your Texas, is it Texas Tan Ash Tree?
Texas Fan, F-A-N.
F-A-N, got it.
Yeah, I've had it about 10 years ago. I went to the nursery, asked for a fast-growing tree, and they recommended, you know, with a nice canopy and all, so I could sit underneath it, get some shade. They went ahead and they recommended Texas Fan Ash. And so far, the tree is about 12 foot tall and about 12 foot wide. I bought two of them. One's about 10 foot tall, about 10 foot wide as far as the canopy. And that's after 10 years. And I've been watering it the way they asked to. I put the fertilizer on it. And it seems like this tree is just, these are just not, they're healthy, but they're not growing very fast. It's like a, I mean, taking a long time just to get even a minimum amount of canopy.
Yeah, it's really hard to know what you're describing there, but it does, it sounds like there's, you know, a problem below ground would be my first suspicion that something, you know, isn't quite right with the root system. Because once a root system gets out into the native soil, you want to be sure that the irrigation, you know, emitters. How are you watering the tree? Is it just with an automatic irrigation system?
No, I have a well around the trees, and I water them in the summertime at least once a week, deep water it, and I use a metal rod to make sure that it's getting down about 3 feet or so. And originally I had dead 4 foot by 4 foot holes for the trees. They were in a 2 foot box, so they were fairly good sized trees to start with.
So when I say they were like 36 inch box trees,
they were a 2 foot box tree.
2 foot, okay, 24s, okay.
Yeah, and that was like, so that was 10, 11 years ago, and the growth has just been just slow. I've done everything the nursery said to, you know, watering and fertilizing, but they seem to be just very, very slow.
Is that a fast-growing tree typically?
Yeah, they are. That was a good recommendation if they wanted a fast tree, a fast-growing tree that would achieve its landscape purpose pretty quickly. Yeah, it's definitely undersized for that many years in the ground. It should have been if the roots in that original root ball had gotten out into the native soil by now, it would have produced a lot better growth above ground. I would suspect, and one of my first things I would check on would be to see if it has any circling roots. You know, that's one of the, if those roots in that 24-inch boxed tree when it was first installed were circling around the container, and they continue in that circling pattern even after the tree's been installed for many years. And if they don't get out and radiate outward, sometimes that'll be a problem which will kind of stunt a tree's growth and have it sort of sit there languish in the soil for many years.
What did you say earlier? As go the roots, so go the shoots.
You got it.
Yeah. Well, more right after this.